The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. There's some serious gourmet
Let's get it on!
Yeah, obviously we wanted to focus on a better start, and I think we did that tonight. Other than that, we knew that they were going to check hard, and we just had to kind of stick with it. We gave them some chances, but at the end of the day, we just kept sticking to our game plan and working hard up the ice, so not much else to go from there.
All right, welcome to the Morning Brew, everybody. Nick Ferguson in for Stink, who is currently in Chicago at the Bears facility, getting ready to prepare to call Bears Cardinals on Sunday. So Nick Ferguson sitting in. Thank you very much as we kick off the brew. That was Cale Makar, who scored his 10th goal of the season as the Avalanche, predictably, after that 8-3 shellacking at the hands of Toronto, bounced back and beat Montreal 4-1. And Nick, how about Cale Makar? Can we just give him the Norris Trophy right now for the best defenseman in the league? He scored his 10th goal of the season, tied for the team lead, ranks first among all NHL defensemen, and he's currently in a streak right now where over his last 8 games, he's got 13 points, 8 goals, and 5 assists. Just give him the trophy, which will, by the way, be the first of probably about, 6 or 7 in his career. Just give it to him now.
It would be great to give it to him now, but that would be all too easy just to do it. Let's kind of stress this thing out and see if we can get more production. But for me, this is exactly what you want if you're the Avs. You want to play great defense, and when you play against Montreal, it was all about starting out fast, and they got out fast. O'Connor had the feed to Nichushkin, and that kind of set things off right away. And you want to play great defense, especially against a team like Montreal that's played slow all season long. So this was a great game for the Avs.
All right, good road win. Good solid road win for the Avs. They continue on this weekend in Ottawa as they finish off the Canadian swing. Next on the Morning Brew.
It's just he's more capable of doing a lot of things that most aren't, which is why he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And players have to know, you know, he's got the no-look passes. He's got the different arm angles. His feet doesn't have to be set all the time to make good throws. It's just unique to him, and that's why he's so good.
Well, there's Vic Fangio throwing praise. Boy, we don't even throw that much praise at Patrick Mahomes. I almost feel like, Benny, after all that praise that Vic Fangio just laid at the feet of Patrick Mahomes,
it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
Nick is looking puzzled.
Phenomena.
What is it? I'll explain. But hold on. Big finish. But basically the idea there is that Patrick Mahomes has become the boogeyman. So in order to sort of make him less threatening, anytime we say nice things about him, we offset it by playing a reminder of how he sounds.
That's the Sesame Street guy, right?
Exactly. Yes. It just kind of makes him less intimidating, right?
But does it
when
really,
you compare him to a Muppet.
But does it really help? And listen, I get
not really.
I get what Coach Fangio is doing. To me, when you play an opponent, you love him up, and you just speak volumes about him. But once the mic is off, you go in there with your team, you say, we're going to kick this guy's butt on Sunday. That's what you do.
Where is your level of confidence based on the idea that Vic Fangio has put together a couple of really good defensive game plans to beat Dallas, to slow down Justin Herbert and the Chargers? Where is your level of confidence that he can devise one for Mahomes and the Chiefs?
It's very high.
Considering
the fact that what we saw, I think it was was it Monday night or Sunday night when the Broncos played them last year? They shut them out in the red zone. And if we had better quarterback play, the Broncos get that win. And that would have cemented Drew Lock as the quarterback of the future. But that didn't happen. So I got a lot of confidence in his defense.
And the other thing, too, is that Kansas City just has not been Kansas City on offense for good chunks of this season, even recently. I know that they gave everybody one of those reminder performances when they hammered the Raiders a couple weeks ago. And I suppose they're capable of doing that Sunday night. But if you just look at the overall body of work, that offense has been scuffling. In the last 5 weeks, they've scored 3, 20, 13, and 19 points around that 41-point explosion. So who are the Chiefs? What are they really on offense? And can the Broncos slow them down on defense? Next on the Morning Brew.
I watched it firsthand, you know, and I guess I don't know what the magic is. They're a very well-coached team. They got really good players. And maybe they just get a little rest and get ready to roll. And maybe that's the formula.
Pat Shurmur is always with answers.
Sometimes there's not much scoring in the first half of games.
And trying to explain why Andy Reid and the is so good coming out of bye weeks. Was it 19-3? I think 22-5 overall when you count playoffs. 26-6. Okay, when you count playoffs. But yet, Pat Shurmur spent a lot of time with Andy Reid. Why didn't the apple fall a little closer to the tree?
It was like the scene from Waterboy, right? Well, you get one guy who is extraordinary as being an offensive coordinator. The other guy is kind of an understudy, and you don't get all the skill set from the guy who's in charge. So that's the way that I pretty much look at it. And maybe, I know is it just me Friday, but is it just me or is Pat Shurmur trying to undermine the situation just in case his offense doesn't play well? He can lean on the fact that, hey, Andy Reid is better than I am.
Man, you're not building up a whole lot of confidence for me as we get ready for Sunday here. I mean, you started off good. You started talking about how you're confident that Vic Fangio is going to put together a good defensive game plan, but then you gave it all away with what to expect on offense. What do you expect the Broncos to try to do offensively?
Well, first and foremost, the secret recipe is running the ball. That's because that opens up play action pass.
Now, you know that. I know that. Everybody out there in Broncos country knows that.
Right.
Does Pat Shurmur know that?
But this is why Pat Shurmur was just kind of giving the layup just in case things don't go well, that he can lean on this. But the idea is you establish the run and you do something that you haven't done in the past couple of weeks. And that was get Cortland Sutton involved. I mean, when you look at the height advantage and the reach over the Kansas City DBs, that is something you have to utilize. And also, the last time these two teams played, Tim Patrick had a great outing against the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
I just think this is one of those classic, Schlereth talks about it all the time. There are offensive coordinators all around the NFL who can't wait to give up on the running game. They can't wait at the first sign of a 3-and-out or fall behind 7-3 to just say, oh, we tried. And I just get the sense that Pat Shurmur wants to throw the football on Sunday. Going to be a nice day out there. Should be a nice night. Should be a fast track. Build up in your mind the idea that you're going to have to match Kansas City score for score. Hey, we got Jerry Jeudy. We got Cortland Sutton. We got Tim Patrick. We're paying all this money to all these guys. I have a feeling on Monday we're going to be lamenting the fact that once again, the two best players on the offense, Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, weren't utilized enough.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think
you think we'll be satisfied with the game plan?
Well, based on what we've seen in the NFL, that is kind of a trend. Even though we put so much, you know, volume on the quarterback position, you have to run the ball. In the NFL, it's proven with so many teams. Look at the game last night with the Cowboys. You have to run the ball. So I don't think that Shurmur is going to abandon the run, but it's always complementary football. You run the ball, set up the pass, but you have to have balance.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Hill throws, it's intercepted at the 25. Down the left side, into the end zone. That is a touchdown. Carlos Watkins, a defensive tackle.
Cowboys radio. Dallas didn't look that great. Didn't have to, because Taysom Hill gifted him the football game. Again, I bring up Stink. He talks to Sean Payton about this a lot, and Mark is steadfast in saying that Sean Payton believes and really likes Taysom Hill as a quarterback. I can't believe I'm going to say this. If you're going to have a quarterback who plays that kind of style, I'd rather have Tim Tebow playing quarterback.
No, you don't.
Then Taysom Hill. Because Tebow, at least with Tebow, you understood his limitations as a passer, and you stayed away from them. Taysom Hill threw the ball 41 times yesterday. He threw four picks. I don't think Tim Tebow ever had a game in which he threw four picks.
Well, first of all, you have to have the ability to throw the ball to be able to throw four picks. So that's not there. So there's Yes, there's a difference between the two guys. Taysom Hill is not an NFL quarterback the way that we know it, but he's a darn better quarterback than that.
Is he?
Yes.
What I watched last night was pretty bad.
Yeah, if your job was on the line and you had to choose between Taysom Hill and Tim Tebow, are you telling me you would choose
for one
Tim?
Game?
One game.
I take Tim. Because Tim's a winner.
Bro, that has nothing to do with that.
The ultimate winner.
Yeah.
Nobody works harder than Tim Tebow.
I think that has something to do with that tattoo I believe you have painted somewhere on your body.
Good point. Good point. Yes. Good point. Touche there. Point to Nick Ferguson. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. It is an Is It Just Me Friday. We'll get into that. Plus, just in case you haven't had enough of them yet this week, yet another reminder of why the Broncos have lost 11 in a row to Kansas City. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.